Number 2, Holy Trinity Chapel.
This was the first English chapel ever to be photographed. Amanda, do you remember that little detail from our emails to one another? The picture in the V&A? Well, that was taken by a guy named George Fox Talbot, who was one of the first commercial photographers in Britain. He had his studio on Baker Street in the 1840s, number 55, and his photographs of Reading are in museums all around the world. The chapel itself was built in 1826 over a giant hole in the ground.
Why was there a giant hole?
Well, as I understand it, in the early 19th century, the Oxford Road was just a long lane going out to Pangbourne, and they surfaced it with gravel from a pit at the bottom of Russell Street, here. Some entrepreneurial vicar called George looked at it and thought, "My, that's a handy place to lay a crypt." He paid for a whole construction out of his own pocket and made a tidy sum selling burial plots in the vault to the rich families round here.
Number 11. Ghosts.
Up and down the road, and all throughout Reading, there have been countless reports of poltergeists that I believe to be the fallen soldiers of the Bloodless Revolution in 1688. Because when they say bloodless, that's not really true at all. Blood was shed right here in Reading. Let me set the scene. The late 17th century, only a short while after England has been ravaged by the Civil War, and the role of the king is still very unstable. James II takes the throne and tries to return England to Catholicism. He enlists a load of Irish militia who were known for absolutely terrorising the peasantry. He was not popular. But England had family ties to this Dutch guy called William of Orange, and Parliament wrote him a plea asking him to get rid of the king. So, the Dutch sent an army to our aid. But King James got wind of this and realised the troops would have to march through Reading to get to Parliament. So, he stationed his Irish soldiers in wait, down by where the Oracle is now, and a couple up the Tower of St Mary's Butts. They thought they were being smart, preparing an ambush for the Dutch, who they expected to be marching down the Bath Road, up there. But the Dutch were warned in a message sent by the townsfolk of Reading and changed their route, cutting across the Oxford Road instead. Back then, it was just a dirt track that led out to Pangbourne, but down this the Dutch crept, hidden by hedgerows, taking the Irish totally by surprise. There was chaos. Imagine it. The sound of muskets and sabres, the smell of gunpowder, bits of building flying everywhere, the sound of horses amid the smoke and confusion, screams of fear and pain. The people of Reading were firing muskets on the Irish from their houses. It was mayhem. The Irish retreated all the way along to Twyford, losing 53 of their number.
How can you be certain that these spirits are from the Bloodless Revolution?
No. Not spirits. Poltergeists. Poltergeists that haunt the Oxford Road. It's here that the Irish made their miscalculation. And that will hold a lot of angst for a poltergeist. It's the place where all this energy, it's where the cause of all this anger and resentment started for them, and therefore where it's centred. And I'm even more certain that it's the same souls who died all those centuries ago because of the dates. All the disturbances I've recorded of this nature happened on the 9th of December, the day the church bells rang out for the lives lost on the day of the battle, and the day that was celebrated for almost a century afterwards. And what happens is, people hear distant church bells, faint and almost indiscernible bells. And then suddenly, every door in the house is open, every one. The bedroom door, the wardrobes, the microwave, the fridge. And always on the 9th of December.
Why the doors?
Their souls are trapped, and they're looking for an escape.
Number 5. Derrick and his bench.
There's something durable about this home of ours. Every street I've walked 1,000 times, on my way to school or on my way to work, to go see my friends. The history of my family from West Reading is immense. My mum and dad
met on the Oxford Road. Oh, they're dead now. Died a long time ago. But they met at their school in Wilson Road, which is still there. I met my wife, Julie, at my school, Oxford Road Primary, and we got married in 1984, when Julie was working at the Royal Albion. We only lived round the corner in Fulmead Road, but Ricky, her boss, insisted I pick her up in our car after late shifts. I used to walk the length of this road pretty much every day with my wife. It changes through the year, but not in the way you think. You have to be part of it to know what I mean. Now, I sit here and watch it all change still. Watch the people and the trams as they go by. Of course, there weren't trams when I was younger. This road is always alive with a chatter of families. Flatmates wandering out for coffee and fresh air. Everyone's always happy to make conversation. Friends or just friendly strangers. Oh, I don't think it matters.